Be seated. Thank you for standing for so long. The journey of faith, amen. It started many weeks ago in our first message, and we talked about the first three verses there. And then we got on to verse 4, and we talked about the faith of Abel, and he being dead yet speaketh. And then we talked about the faith of Enoch, and how Enoch walked with God, amen. And he was not, for God took him. He was translated. And I remember hearing the old preacher say, Enoch and God were walking. Far along into their journey that God said to Enoch, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. What do you say? We just come up to my house. Amen. And Enoch was translated that he did not see death. And then, of course, we heard of the faith of Noah. And I love, if there's one person, and obviously there's so many in here, but I love the faith of Noah. Noah, God said it and he did it. I've got a message I preach on Noah called Because I Said So. Didn't you hate hearing that when you were a kid? I know I'm old now, Brother Glenn, because when my kids say, why? I say, because I said so. And I said, I've turned into my father, amen? There's a lot of wisdom in because I said so. You don't think so when you're a little guy, amen? But really, Noah moved with fear. Why? Because God said he was going to judge the world. Noah started working for God and he preached, amen. And we know that. And then, of course, we look in our last two messages on the faith of Abraham. And we looked at Abraham, how he was listening for God's promise, and he was living by God's promise, and he was looking for God's promise. And then last week we looked at the thrill of Abraham's faith, and how him and Sarah were so past age, and we looked at the frailty of man. But then, praise God, we looked, the frailty of man pales in comparison to the ability of our God. Amen? The frailty, you know, we put limitations. We try to put God in a bottle. Hey, listen, let God be God. He's able to do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. So we saw the thrill of Abraham's faith. We saw the testimony of Abraham's faith. It was all of his family said, these all died in faith. And again, listen, I'm for witnessing. I'm for trying to win people. But if the only people you see saved are your family, you've been a success. You've been a success. Think of the testimony of his faith. It was a testimony of apparent failure. In the text there, and if you look down at verse number 13, it says this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. There will be people at your funeral that say, he wasted his life. She wasted her life. It's an apparent failure. Apparent failure. Why? Because the life lived by faith in God is not only, it goes to an appealing future. Listen, our reward is not here on earth. And that's what he was saying. Hey, they were just pilgrims, just passing through. That's why they dwelled in tents. They didn't have big mansions. And listen, God's not against you having a home as long as the home doesn't have you. Do you know there's a lot of people, God would have them on the mission field, but the home's got them. They're dug in. They're dug in. I don't mean here. I've known people that literally they wanted to go into the work of God and they got, as it were, their foot up to put in the Jordan, but they couldn't get it in because something had them. Hey, we're pilgrims. We're passing through. We're passing through. I remember I used to go, when I was at Midwestern Baptist College, we would go, always pass through Canada. It was before 9/11. It was before all the passport restrictions and stuff. And they used to say, when you get to the border, what is it, business or pleasure? And I'd say, if I was going to preach, I'd say business. If I was going home just to see, I'd say pleasure. And then they would say, how long you gonna be in Canada? And I said, about 3.5 hours. Which is the exact time from Port Huron to Niagara Falls at about 65 miles an hour. Planning on doing any stopping? Only if my body tells me I have to stop. Amen? Why? I'm just passing through. I want to get through Canada as quick as possible. Not that I don't like Canada. I'm just passing through. You know what? This world, we're just passing through. We're just passing through. Don't dig your tent pegs too deep. Don't stake down and stake your life. Like I think about, we're talking this morning about how people in the world react and what a shame sometimes it is. But listen, this is all they have. This is as good as it gets. Brother Randall, you mentioned your student tonight. Oh, that hurts. That hurts. Amen, doesn't it? To know that a one-year-old baby died. Listen, for the Christian, we'll see him again. This isn't all we have. That little casket that's going to be about this big and that little clump of dirt, that isn't everything. There's another side. By faith. By faith. And so we talked about Abraham's faith, amen, the testimony of his faith. Tonight, we look at these three patriarchs. And listen, whether we are saved or lost, when we look at the future, we see one disturbing matter, and that is the reality of death. As it is appointed unto men once to die. Ezekiel 18:4 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Ecclesiastes 8:8, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death." Unless the Lord Jesus Christ comes, the statement applies to every born-again believer as well as to lost people, is appointed unto men once to die. As I've often said, each one of us will be horizontal in the front of the church one day. Each one of us. Now, I know we don't think it's going to happen. It'll always happen to somebody else. But listen, there are only two ways a person can die. They can die in their sins, or they can die in Christ, having their sins forgiven. The Bible says it is possible to die in faith. To die in faith. I believe the moment a person comes nigh to death, God can give you, dear saint, dying grace. I've watched it. I've been in the room where people have expired. And I've watched people that weren't saved. And it was as it were, there was a spiritual battle going on that they were clinging for life. And I've seen saved people who knew the Lord, lived for Jesus, and I watched them as they went peacefully. Because they knew there was something on the other side of death. Look, if you look at verse number 13, it's interesting. It says, "These all died in faith." We're going to look at these three patriarchs tonight, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, who lived their lives by faith, and they died by faith. By the way, I didn't say they were perfect. Good thing. That wouldn't help any of us. Amen. We're talking about the journey of faith here. If you would, number one, look at the longing faith of Isaac. The longing faith of Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. You know, Isaac is interesting. He was the miracle child born to Sarah and Abraham when she was 90 and he was 100. He was the chosen seed whom God had said he would bless through. But he had some weaknesses, didn't he? Under pressure, when questioned about his wife Rebecca, he said, "She's my sister." By the way, that was the exact same thing his father did. Amen? So remember that, fathers. Amen? It does transfer. Something else, in the conflicts, he sought to avoid confrontation. He let the Philistines stop up the wells, you remember. They just didn't, "Oh, I don't want to confront anything." You know what else, too? We notice as we look at Jacob and Esau, he played favorites between his sons. You know you're not supposed to do that. Not supposed to play favorites. Supposed to love your children. Amen. Love them unconditionally. Eric will do that to me. He'll say, Luke will be sitting there, "You know, brothers, they just try to get under each other's skin." Well, I'm noticing that. My goodness, I didn't have any brothers or sisters, so if anybody got under anybody's skin, it was me getting under my own skin. Amen. Eric will say, "That's my daddy." And Lukey will say, no, that's my daddy. He say, no, my daddy. And the next thing you know, Luke is screaming, my daddy, amen. And I have to get in there and say, boys, first of all, cut it out, amen. Then I have to say, I'm both of your daddy. I'm your daddy. I love both of you just the same. And that's the truth. You have children, you know that's true. You love them both the same. But if we're not careful, if one of our children likes what we like a little bit more, we can play favorites. And that's exactly what happened in Isaac. Isaac loved the fact that Esau brought him savory meat. He was a hunter. Jacob was a plain man. And Sarah loved Jacob a little bit more than Esau. And Isaac loved Esau a little bit more than Jacob. He played favorites. So I think a few things that we could learn from his life is that both God's plans and His promises are larger than people. When you think about that. Think about God keeps His promises even though sometimes we don't have much faith. Here's a great verse. If you would, just go back just a couple pages. I believe it's 2 Timothy chapter 2. Wasn't in my notes, but I think the Holy Ghost brought it to remembrance here. Chapter 2. Look at verse number 13. You want a great verse as you feel like you're on the journey and sometimes your faith is small and sometimes you don't believe like you think you should? Here's a great verse. You ought to mark this one in your Bible. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Hey, listen, God understands. God understands when our faith wavers a little bit. But here was a man, Isaac, that he went through his life. And at the end, he had a longing faith. You know what? Isaac was a common man. He was an ordinary son of a great father and the ordinary father of a great son. He was a well digger by trade. He dug wells. He and Rebekah had twin boys, and like we said, he seemed to favor Esau. And at one point in Genesis chapter 27, he was reluctant to obey God. Hey, sounds like a lot of us to me. Just ordinary. Made of the same stuff. Had the same temptations. Had some of the same failures. It's okay to say amen. Had some of the same failures. But you know what else? He was not only a common man, he was a confident man. Why? Look at the verse in verse 20 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. The closer he got to death, the more he trusted God. Boy, folks, that's the way it ought to be. And I'll tell you how you can accomplish that. The closer you get to death, the more you trust God. I'll tell you how you can accomplish that. Walk with God in His Word and watch Him throughout your life provide for your every need. You know, when God provides for our needs and God answers prayer, you know what? It doesn't inspire doubt. It inspires confidence. Why? Isn't it amazing that maybe a younger Christian's going through a storm and you see him going through, but some of you senior saints, some of you salt and pepper saints there, you've been through that trial before and you know God's going to get them through. For us younger people, boy, that boats are rocking and the waves are smashing and all that, but you that have been through it, you know why? Because God got you through. And it inspires confidence. And Isaac, though he wasn't perfect, he walked with God. And the closer he got to death, the more confident he got in God. And he was willing to trust God concerning things to come. He had faith in things to come despite his own shortcomings. Look at verse 16. What kind of faith did he have in things to come? But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. He was confident in the fact there was a heavenly home, and he was heading there. So he blessed Jacob and Esau. So the longing faith of Isaac. Then we see something interesting, verse 21. We see by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Not only the longing faith of Isaac, but we see the leaning faith of Jacob. The story is found in Genesis chapter 48. Go there with me if you would. Hold your place there in Hebrews. We'll be back there. Genesis chapter 48. We see this story. The story of Jacob is an interesting story. We're going to talk a little bit about it. Genesis 48. I'll begin reading in verse 1, and you can read along in your Bibles. It came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee, and Israel strengtheneth himself." And he sat upon the bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make thee of a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begattest after them, shall be thine, and thou shalt be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance." Jumping down to verse number 8. "And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them." By the way, that's still a good thing to do, dads to your boys. It's a good thing to do. Just give them a kiss. Kiss them on the forehead. Amen. "And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed." It's a great story there. He thought Joseph was dead. Now he got to see Joseph's sons. "And Joseph brought them from out between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand and toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger," which was odd, and obviously there's a whole sermon to that. But he says, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham, Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day." That sounds like confidence to me. "The angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, let my name be named on them, in the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into the multitude in the midst of the earth." What do we learn about this faith of Jacob? Well, first of all, we see something about it here. His living. And folks, I hope this doesn't sound irreverent. Jacob was a rascal. He was a con man. He was always trying to pull a deal or reach a bargain. By the way, his name means supplanter or deceiver. Now, is anybody here named Jacob tonight? Anybody named Jacob? Listen, I laugh because I have friends that have named their sons Jacob, and I go to them and I say, "Why would you do that?" It means deceiver. It means supplanter. And certainly, we know that he did that with Isaac. Got conned with his mother there to pretend to be Esau, and how hairy was Esau? So hairy that they put a coat of animal skins on him, and Isaac couldn't see, and he felt. He said, "Well, it must be Esau. It's hairy enough to be Esau." And then, of course, we remember when Esau came in from the field hunting, and he was faint, and he said, Jacob was making the lentil soup there, the Mark Meyer bean soup, amen. And he came in. Esau said, "Hey, give me some of that, or else I die." And what did Jacob do? He said, "Give me your birthright, and I'll give you some." That was a bad bargain, folks. The birthright meant so much. Just do a study on it. Two-thirds inheritance, patriarch of the family, so many things, spiritual blessings upon thee, and he gave it up for a bowl of soup. That was Jacob. Can we say this? How about his dealings with Laban, his soon-to-be father-in-law. If ever two people in the Bible were made for each other, it was Jacob and Laban. Because they were both con men and tried to con. But I'll tell you this about Jacob. And by the way, he was a rascal even after God saved him. But you know what? When you contrast Jacob and Esau, and you read that difficult passage in Malachi chapter 1, verse 2, where it says, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. And I'll tell you why. There's one reason. One reason. Jacob, though he was a rascal, had faith. You know what Esau was? A self-sufficient man who didn't need to have faith in God, who sold away his birthright, his blessing of God. And Jacob, we see his living, and certainly not the model life that we would live our life, but we see something else. We see his leaving here, back in Hebrews. Back in Hebrews chapter 11, you see his leaving. And it says there in verse 21, by faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon his staff. You know what? He left a testimony with his boy, his boys, his grandbabies. Grandpa Jacob loved God. He wasn't perfect, but he revered God in his life. He had faith in God. And by the way, he left his kindred a treasure. Faith. Listen, folks, I don't think there's too many of us in this room that are going to be leaving our kids a whole heap and pile of money. Maybe some bills. Amen? The greatest treasure you could leave your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren is faith. The faith of Jesus Christ. And it says there, talk about it, his staff was a reminder that he was a pilgrim. Just a pilgrim in search of a city, as the song says. Verse 13 and 14, look at it. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. The longing faith of Isaac, the leaning faith of Jacob, the liberating faith of Joseph, last of all tonight. Verse 22, and then we're going to go to the cross reference here back in Genesis. Verse 22 says, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Head back, if you would, to Genesis chapter 50. Last chapter of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 50, and we find the background of this story here. Joseph, the grandson of Isaac, the son of Jacob, the great-grandson of Abraham, and we see him here in Egypt, and we'll talk about him. But it says there in chapter 50, verse 22, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years, and Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought upon Joseph's knees. Great-grandpa, amen. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You know, I think we all, those of us that read the Bible, we all have favorite Bible characters. In the New Testament, I love Peter. I don't know about you. You may say, I love Paul or I love Barnabas. And of course, we all love the Lord Jesus. Amen. He's our favorite Bible character. But I love Peter because Peter shows me that there's hope for me. Amen. This one who we could say open mouth and insert foot. Peter is more like open mouth and insert foot all the way to knee. Amen. The things he would do and his impetuousness. But I love part of that is he's the only one that got out of the boat, Brother Horsch. He's He's the only one that said to the Lord, "Hey, if it's really you, tell me to come." Jesus said, "Come on." He got out. He's the one that preached at Pentecost where 3,000 people got saved. Amen. He's the one that was on the Mount of Transfiguration and he saw the Lord and he saw Moses and Elijah and he heard the Father's voice and he said, "It is good for us to be here." He's also the one that denied the Lord 3 times. He's also the one who, after the Lord had already rose and appeared, he said, "I'm finished. I'm going fishing. Going back to my old way of life." He shows me there's hope. There's hope for us. But in the Old Testament, my favorite Bible character is Joseph. I love Joseph. And I'll tell you why. Just like Peter shows me that God can use me, Joseph shows me what men can be with God. Folks, you think about this here. It says, by faith, Joseph. Those words itself are a miracle of God. Because what happened to Joseph would destroy most people's faith. Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob. You would have thought Jacob would have learned his lesson with what happened to him and his mother and Esau and his father, but he didn't. Joseph was his favorite son. Joseph went out to check on his brethren because they weren't really doing their job. And Jacob said, "Go check on them." And what did they do? They took Joseph, they put him in a pit, and then they literally had a debate whether to kill him or not. They didn't kill him. They sold him to the Midianites, but they took his coat of many colors and they dipped it in some animal blood and brought it back to Jacob and said an animal has devoured him. And here he is in Egypt. He's been sold by his brothers. How's that for brotherly love? Let brotherly love continue. Amen. He's been sold by his brethren and he comes to this place and he is bought by a man named Potiphar. And he serves Potiphar. And you read in Genesis chapter 37 and then 39, it says, "And the Lord was with him." And Potiphar trusted him so much that he didn't even know what he had except for the food he ate every day. He didn't know. Trusted Joseph. Potiphar's wife. Forgive me, ladies, it's not an aspersion on you. There's nothing like a godly lady, but there's nothing like the reverse either, an ungodly lady. Satan's servant came knocking on Joseph's door and said, "Lie with me." He said, "I can't lie with you. First of all, I love God." By the way, that'll keep you out of the adulterer's bed. Just loving God. And by the way, he said, "I love my master too. I love your husband. I couldn't possibly do this." And she kept at him and kept at him. But he was smart. See, he always had people around him. Best way to keep from sin is have good people around you. Have people around you where folks can't levy an accusation. One day he had to go into the house to do his business, the Bible says. And she grabbed him and said, "Lie with me." And he realized he didn't have any other option but to flee fornication, as the Bible said. And he took off and left his coat in her hand. But as I told you, she was the servant of Satan. So she told a lie about him. She said, "Well, he came in to mock me. He tried to force himself upon me." And it says, you read the Bible, it says Potiphar was angry, but it doesn't say who he was angry at. I'll tell you who I thought he was angry at. He knew what he'd married. And he knew Joseph's character. But he had no choice. He casts him into prison. And then the Bible makes this remarkable statement. There he is in the prison, but the Lord was with him. There he is in the prison. And two servants of Pharaoh, the chief butler and the chief baker, come to him. And they say, "We both dreamed a dream, and we can't interpret it." He says, "Well, there's a God in heaven that can interpret dreams. Tell me what they are. I'll tell you the interpretation." Of course, they go on to tell him. He tells him, tells the butler, "You're going to be restored to Pharaoh." Tells the baker, "You're going to be brought out and hanged." And he says to the butler, "Remember me when you come before Pharaoh. Just remember me." He doesn't say, plead my case. He doesn't say, do this. He says, just remember it. And in the next verse, it says, but he forgot him. So here he is in prison, forsaken, forgotten, all of that. And God burdens the king of the world at the time, Pharaoh, with a dream he can't understand. And all of a sudden the butler says, hold it. I remember there was a Hebrew in prison, and he interpreted a dream, and it came to pass just like he said. Pharaoh said, bring him to me. And Pharaoh told him of his dream that he had. And Joseph says, well, look, I don't have an answer myself. It's God that's going to give you an answer. And he gave him. He told him about the dream, and he interpreted it. He realized that Egypt was going to have 7 plenteous years where the corn was going to grow high and the wheat was going to grow thick. And then it was going to have 7 blasted years where nothing was going to happen. God literally used Joseph to save the world at that time. But you see, all through it all, he realized there was a God in heaven. Through it all, he trusted God. You know, folks, can I say this? It's easy preaching and hard living sometimes, isn't it? When you don't know where the next meal is coming from. Or you don't know what's going to happen this month when Social Security adjusts, or gas prices go high, or fill in the blank. But Joseph had faith. We're to have faith in a great God. There was a promised Exodus. God promised the Israelites that He would lead them out of the land of Egypt. And Joseph died believing that promise. It says there in verse 22 of Hebrews 11, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. He said this, hey, listen, I know I'm going to die, but God is going to take you out of this land. Think of all the prophets that died saying that the Messiah would be born. Think of them. They died. They died. The Messiah is going to be born. The Messiah is going to be born. The Messiah is going to be born. And they died. And they died. And they died. And they died. And you know what? One day, the Messiah was born. Amos didn't get to see it in his lifetime. Micah, who told us where he would be born, he didn't get to see it in his lifetime. The great prophet Isaiah, who history tells us later on in this chapter, was put into a hollow log and sawn in two for the faith. He didn't get to see it. And yet it came to pass. That's faith. That's faith. Faith is not seeing. It's believing without seeing. That's faith. So there was a promised Exodus. It says these all died in faith, verse 13, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Not only a promised Exodus, but lastly, a personal Exodus. Joseph's bones were taken from Egypt and transported to Shechem. Taken out of Egypt just as God had promised. Do you know what Egypt is? Egypt is a picture of the world. Can I tell you that each one of us has been promised an exodus from this world? We get ready. Next week we're going to have the Lord's table. And every week we read, or every time we have the Lord's table, we read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. He's coming back just like He promised. Aren't you glad for that? Hey, listen, let that buoy your faith on. A faith in life ought to translate to a faith at death. Father, we love You. Thank You so much for Your goodness to us. Thank You that Romans 12:3 tells us that You hath appointed unto every man the measure of faith. Thank you for giving us faith. I pray that you'd give us more faith. Help us to know, Lord, as the song says, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord.